Welcome to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. My co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. Heather, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Rob. Thanks. How are you?
Good, good. Heather, what can I say? Spring is right around the corner. And
yes.
This weekend was daylight savings time started, and we had to spring forward. So we're losing an hour. Did that have an effect on you anyway?
Oh, well, not so much, you know. I just, you know, looking forward to the spring and to the warm weather, of course.
You know, I have to admit, I'm maybe one of the outliers in this, because I'm not ready for spring yet. I don't feel that we
No,
had
really.
I don't feel that we had a really good winter. I think this is the third year of not having a lot of snow. We had some snow, but not enough. And I'm looking around, I'm like, spring is already here. Even the saplings on some of the trees, I see that they're slowly coming in. And I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, what I didn't even know up until I think it was Tuesday that daylight savings time, we were supposed to spring forward this past weekend. I wasn't ready for any of this. It's like going so fast. And I'm like, gosh, put the brakes on things. I'm like, where is it? I mean, Passover is right around the corner. Easter is right around the corner. I'm not ready for any of this. We're already in March, and I feel as if though we just got out of January, and here we are.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes, you know.
Maybe it's because we had a leap year.
Oh,
Because of the leap
maybe.
year. Yeah. I don't know, but I'm not ready for it. I want things to slow down. And with things going so fast, we only know that right around the corner, of course, a couple of more, I think it's like 180, is it 180 days or a little bit more? Yeah, it's more than that before we go to the polls and vote for the next president in November. So it's probably like 200 days, 300 days. And that's fast approaching. And okay, I know why I got the 180 days. I think it's been 180 days since Hamas attacked Israel. It doesn't seem as if though it was that long ago, but it was. And not only that, this is the third year, I think, that we're in Ukraine.
Coming up on the third year.
And time is definitely moving fast, my friend. And there's nothing we can do to stop it.
I know.
So
it's been a rough time. It has.
A lot of changes. And tonight, one of the things I want to talk about, you know, we're talking about timing and moving forward. The last time you were on was during President, gosh, I can't believe I said president. I usually just call him by his first name, Joe Biden, the State of the Union address, and we critiqued it. And one of the things that, one of the fallouts from it is that after his address, he went around the room and was talking to some of the lawmakers, as they usually do. And apparently he mentioned to one, he was asking Senator Michael Bennet, Colorado, to keep what he was about to tell him in confidence. And he apparently said, and it was on a hot mic, and Biden said to him something about, "I come to Jesus talk with the humanitarian situation in Gaza Strip." And he said that, "I told him, BB, and don't repeat this," he's saying this to Michael Bennet, "but I said, you and I are going to have a come to Jesus moment." Biden began, as an aide rushed over. As soon as he said it, I guess an aide heard him and said, "Come on, sir, we've got to go," whispering in his ear, "we've got to go." And we have always said on the show that, I mean, I know I want felt that there was a Biden and Tony, in a sense, have been behind the scene, I think, working against the Prime Minister of Israel in favor of this small group of Arabs in Michigan, wanting to give the appearance that they're standing up to Israel, that they're trying to call the shots, wanting a ceasefire. And if you recall, as soon as this war broke out, as soon as Hamas attacked Israel, before Israel even stepped up to defend itself, there was a call for Israel to practice restraint and not to do anything, which to me was ridiculous. It's like they have to defend their people. And now, and from October until now, we have been talking about this on the show and looking at the response from America and response in wanting Israel to stop what they're doing. And there's never been a push for Hamas to stop. We even did a show saying that about the ceasefire, who's it going to benefit, Hamas, Israel, or the US? And I would say of the three, definitely Israel would not benefit. It's mainly Hamas for them to continue their savagery and for the US to make themselves look good in the eyes of a small group of Arabs that are here. Israel has been one of our greatest allies, has stood by us. And this administration has gone in and basically destroyed our standing with Israel. And I think that it's really absurd to see this happening, to see it unfolding. And I think it started with Barack Obama. I never felt that Barack Obama liked Benjamin Netanyahu, because if you recall, when Benjamin was coming up for during an election, Barack actually sent over emissaries to try and hinder Bibi from being elected. So I never saw that there was a succinct relationship, a closeness between the two leaders. And we now see it being played out with this administration. And we see the fallout here in America, in a lot of American cities, with the protests that are taking place by these young people who've been indoctrinated into thinking that Israel is the bad party in all this. And I submit to you again, as I have always said, Israel did not start this, it was Hamas. But the media, and I'm always blaming the media, and Andrew and I spoke about this last night, we need to check the media, because it is not the free press that we have grown up with, Heather. It is not the free press that the Constitution spoke about. It is not the free press that's supposed to hold our elected officials accountable. They're everything but that. And that's what scares me, Heather. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that yes, it's all the world piling on Israel. It's easy to sit and criticize. I mean, that said, honestly, Rob, I've said before, I understand. I mean, I don't like so many people being killed either. I mean, my heart is with the Israelis who were viciously attacked. And I understand why this is happening. I think the other side, I think Hamas, doesn't want it to stop. I mean, I'm very also agree, very grieved, very sad for the children, the Israeli children first and the Palestinian children too. It's hard. I mean, I'm not sitting here gung-ho, yay, Israel, go, I mean, Israel's doing what it has to do, I believe. I don't think we can just bare our necks and be slaughtered. They have to fight back. And this is the way this enemy fights. They ensconce themselves among civilians, as we know. They make it impossible to get them. They don't come out and fight like men. So, we're getting a play-by-play of all the horrors of war, and it's a very big focus for a lot of people. But imagine, if there were cameras and media crews in Dresden and Berlin when they were being bombed during World War II. I mean, we did know there was some news from Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but not in this kind of detail. So, it is a brutal thing. War is an ugly thing. But all these humanitarians, with their criticism, they never ask Hamas to just give back our people already and surrender. That would stop it. I mean, it's very sad, but it's like they started this. They picked this horrendous, vicious fight and grabbed people and dragged them back there. And now they want to cry about what's happened, but the world isn't like that. As you know, you pick a vicious fight with somebody, who's stronger than you. And even more to the point, at this point now, they could surrender if they wanted to stop, and that's what they should do. That's what the world should ask Hamas to do, not just lean on Israel. I mean, even if you believe that Israel's approach isn't the right one, and I don't know that. I mean, I do trust the leadership of Israel that they're doing the best they can. I mean, that said, it has been, a lot of death, and I don't like it either. But I don't see how anybody can just sit there and, put the squeeze on Israel and not have anything to say about Hamas. And how about the other Arab states? Why don't they step in and take some of the children or the women and children, if they care, if this is, the humanitarian catastrophe that it is,
But what other step could Israel take? I mean, they gave the Gaza Strip over to the Palestinians, only for the Palestinians to allow Hamas to come in. Israel has said, release the hostages. There's no one knocking on Hamas's door saying, release the hostages, release the hostages. It's all that they want Israel to concede, Israel to concede. And it's almost similar to what's happening in the States. With them taking away our basic rights, wanted us to concede to them being the Democrats, as if though they have all the answers, and we see that they don't. Look at our borders that are wide open. Look at these young military age men that are coming in. At one point, we saw Mexicans or Hispanics that are coming in. Now we see an influx of the Chinese, and you want me to give away my guns so that you can take care of me? Look at what's happening in a lot of our blue cities, our large blue liberal cities. They're like have been just taken over with violence, crime, and we were being told just last year that that's not the case. Don't believe your eyes. It's a matter of perception, is what Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, said. It's a matter of perception. Now the governor is saying they're putting the National Guards in the subways to protect us. But I thought you said that everything was okay. I mean, these are the policies of the Democrats. They're constantly telling us, oh, no, don't believe your eyes, believe something else, which is what we see this happening in Israel. We can't believe them. We can't trust them. And as I've said before, and we've spoken about this on the show, I think that the Jewish community has to wake up and chart a different path because the Democrats aren't the answer. If you keep relying on Democrats, there would be more bloodshed. I've said the same thing for blacks. If you keep trusting on Democrats, there would be more bloodshed in your community. There would be more poverty in your community. For the past 60 years, 1964, the Civil Rights Act was passed. 1965, the Voting Rights Act was passed. What has changed? Blacks are still being told, you will overcome. We're going to make a difference. Democrats are still saying, we're going to help you make the difference. But yeah, they're doing it by replacing you with illegals. Yes, they're illegals, as Joe Biden said during his State of the Union address. He got that right by calling the man who killed Lake and Riley an illegal. He got it right. Now, although, as Andrew and I spoke about last night, he came back on and apologized and saying, I should have said undocumented. No, you got it right the first time, yelling Joe, old yeller. You got it right the first time. So all these things that they're telling us, we cannot depend on. We can't trust them. I know that, like our grandparents or parents, they looked at the Democrat Party and felt that they were sympathetic to our cause and that they were going to somehow, they were going to be the Moses and lead us to greener pastures, but that's yet to happen. It's more doom and gloom. And yes, we can question and say, well, is Israel doing the right thing? Is Benjamin Netanyahu, is he being, we spoke about this on one of our shows, methodical and making certain that only a few people are killed and not losing their lives? I think that he is. What else can he do? It's about survival. It's at the critical mass stage, it is about survival. And Hamas has shown us what they will do. They don't care. And because they have managed to win this propaganda war, because our media, I know that we don't agree on this, but in my opinion, they are the most dangerous threat at this moment to our
Well, they all
civilization.
know. I mean, I agree with you there. I just don't think we can outlaw, certain perspectives, even if they are mendacious and manipulative. And, I mean, look, the media aggressively propagandized against Donald Trump for 4 years. I mean, they lied. I mean, people walk around, half the country thinks he said Nazis were very fine people, which he simply did not say if you watch the video of the press conference. But that's a lie that's been repeated so many times by media outlets. What he said is that there were two groups of people in Charlottesville, and the first group was a legitimate group protesting removal of statues, and that there were very fine people among that group. And then the second group was rougher types. Those were his exact words, including people who had, some of them had associations maybe with the KKK and white supremacists, and he said they should be condemned totally. That's what he said, if you listen to the recording. But, as an example, the media just repeated, oh, he says neo-Nazis are very fine people, So, we have, I know what you're saying. It is irresponsible and it is doing damage. But I mean, I don't know exactly what the answer is. I guess, maybe some kind of class action lawsuit or something against like every liberal media source. I don't know.
But we have to find an answer. We have to find an answer because what they're doing is very destructive. I am not saying to outlaw all of the media, but they need to be held accountable. And you would think when I was in journalism school, we were told that if one media did something, the other arm would hold them accountable. But there's no accountability. Now, here on After Dark with Robert Andrew and yourself, we're trying to hold them accountable by calling out their egregious reporting and not being fair and unbalanced. And it's just it angers me when I see it because we have innocent people whose lives are being impacted by a lot of their lies and they don't care. You would think they would have called Biden out on his come to Jesus moment with the Prime Minister of Israel. I mean, this man is fighting for the livelihood, the survival of a group of people. A group of people who, back in during World War II, the Nazis wanted to eradicate. Think of all the Jews that were killed. And now Biden wants to talk about a come to Jesus moment. Part of me wonders if, in fact, this was done deliberately so that those few Arabs in Michigan could hear and think, oh, wow, he's standing up. Was it done deliberate? Did they know what he was saying? Or was it a hot mic moment, as they always like to say? Because the media has
I
just glossed right over it.
don't.
So, but I mean, we're up coming up against a commercial break, but I want to pick this up on the other side because, again, I don't think that this administration is a friend of the Jewish community. You're listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. And my co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. You've heard Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company discuss the harmful effects of spike protein in your body, and now they've found the solution. The miracle enzyme nattokinase. Their spike support formula contains nattokinase, the most compelling and scientifically supported approach to safely clear spike protein out of the body. What's more, Spike Support is optimized with other all-natural, non-GMO ingredients, like dandelion root, to help prevent spike protein from binding to your cells. Everyone should take daily Spike Support so you can feel your best. America Out Loud listeners can go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop. That's AmericaOutLoud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
So, Heather, the second half of the show, and I want to get your thoughts on a matter that we had broached during last week after the State of the Union address, when Biden had said that they were building a pier, I think the Gaza Strip, to drop or to be able to bring in relief aid to the Palestinians. Because we're being told that, you know, the starvation level that's there, the humanitarian crisis, because they're unable to get in supplies.
And which is sad, but why won't Egypt let them in and take them out of there? But yes.
But see, these are questions that the media would not put forth. They're making it seem as though Israel is causing this humanitarian crisis, when you have these other Arab countries, as you mentioned during the first half of the show, that are there that could very easily allow women and children safe passage into their country, while the men, so to speak, fight this out. But they won't do it. And the media is not holding them accountable. It's all Israel. Israel is a small, I mean, maybe you could give us a little, you know, history lesson on the geographic location of Israel and the makeup, but it's a small area. And you're surrounded by these Arab countries, and they're trying to fight for their survival. But these Arab countries, they're sitting there and they're watching as if though they want the downfall of Israel. And this is horrible. I don't care what your thoughts are about the Israelis, but seeing this happen and them trying to defend their people, and the media is turning it as if though, oh no, Biden needs to have a come to Jesus moment with Benjamin, because Benjamin needs to put down their arms and just be killed. In essence, that's what I'm hearing. Put down your arms, don't do anything, and allow Hamas to come in and slaughter the rest of the Jewish people that are there. What are your thoughts, Heather?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much what it would amount to, I guess, if Israel can't fight back. And I mean, maybe some people are looking at it and just saying that the death toll on the Palestinian side is so great and includes so many children. I'm upset about that too, but I know, you know, for one thing, I think that to bemoan that and condemn Israel and have nothing to say about Hamas, you know, is absurd and it's dishonest, because we all know that it could stop. You know, if these people really care about the Palestinians, they should at the very least also be asking Hamas, come to the table, surrender, give back their people. I mean, it's dishonest morally and intellectually to say you're a humanitarian and not, I mean, at the very least, you'd say to both sides, you know, stop it. But I mean, there's no criticism of Hamas that I can hear, no call for them to stop this war, to turn over the captives, which started the whole thing. And that, you know, it's like, it's just very frustrating. I mean, if the world of humanitarians put even half the energy that they put into condemning Israel, you know, into calling on Hamas to stop it already, then this could all be over, I think. But it's not the way, you know, things are.
And who's at fault again? As I was saying during the first block, who's at fault? Who caused all this? Why don't we have a come to Jesus moment with Hamas and tell them, put down your weapons, release the hostages? What is so difficult about that? I'm not getting it. What is so difficult to tell them, stop slaughtering children, allow aid to come in? Now, the aid that Biden will let come in from these piers that they're building, it will probably go to Hamas, which is what they want. And then Biden, he said, and no American troops will be put on the ground. Well, who's going to build the pier? I mean, the same thing they said about in Ukraine. No American soldiers will be put on the ground. But who's helping to train the soldiers in Ukraine? I mean, do they think that Americans are that stupid? Do they think that we're that dumb, that unlearned, that we're not going to ask the question? Well, I think they're right, because the media is not going to say, well, you guys do realize that the people who are going to build a pier, it's probably from our Corps of Engineers, they're going to have to help out. And more than likely, they're soldiers. The same thing with Ukraine. But they will not divulge that. They'll just glance right over it and make us think that it's going to happen miraculously. Like, even when we were sending aid to Ukraine, they made it seem as if they're over. We're not going to send it. Yeah, but who are you sending it to? It might be going to one country, then that country, from that country's dock, is going to go to Ukraine. I mean, this administration is so messed up. It needs to be called out, but our media won't do it. The same way they refuse to call Biden out for his come to Jesus moment. Now, all the stories that they're writing about, oh, well, there are Israelis that are trying to block the aid that's coming to the Gaza Strip. Now, they've turned that into a huge story to make it seem as if though the Israelis are the bad guys, that they want the folks in Palestine, the Palestinians, to starve. And I've been seeing all these pictures of the Palestinians. They're starving, and they need aid. They don't have any food. And we got to blame this on the Jewish community. Do you actually think that people are going to believe that? Well, yeah. They believe it, because the media will not tell the truth. They won't talk about the suffering in Israel. They won't talk about the hostages. They won't talk about that baby who was kidnapped, who turned one as a hostage. They won't talk about any of that. They won't talk about the brutality, the women who were raped, the grandparents who were killed. They won't talk about it. They won't talk about the mother who's still waiting to hear if her son is dead or alive. They won't talk about that. We're just supposed to forget about it, and we're just supposed to feel sorry for the Palestinians. Well, my heart goes out to them. Because, as you said, I don't like anyone to suffer. But when you're...
Yeah, well, Hamas can suffer, and my heart doesn't go out to them. But, yes, whatever civilians are there, as I've said before, I feel for the children. You know, the rest of them, I don't know. But I just... Why isn't there a humanitarian effort to evacuate the children from Gaza? I think probably because their presence there allows Hamas to hide and use them as shields and rack up the death toll. And I think a lot of these so-called humanitarian protesters, they're really, I don't think they really care that deeply about the children. I think it's more about hating Israel. And they're pro Hamas, they like that side of things. And, that's what I think it is.
Because they can get a lot of traction from the young people here, from the hate of Israel. They know nothing about Israel. They know nothing about World War II. They know nothing about the slaughter of the Jewish people, what they went through. They know nothing about it. But they want to pretend as if though they do. And this is really sad. This is really unfortunate that we have the top guy of the administration who's deceiving people, who's saying things that he thinks a small group of people want to hear. And then on top of that, we have people that are in Congress that support this, that are behind Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, who, in my opinion, and this is just me, I think they're terrorists. That's my opinion. I think that they're terrorists. I don't think they mean good for the country. And it's very dangerous. And it's only a matter of time, Heather, I would say, but the people that are coming over here to the country, it's only a matter of time before we get a legitimate terrorist sworn in on the Hill as a congressman or a congresswoman. It's only a matter of time. And when I say that, I mean, they will openly say, yeah, this is who I am. Because you look at the pockets that are being created around the country. You look at all the Afghanistanians that we took in. And I'm not saying that they're terrorists, the ones that came in from Afghanistan, when Afghanistan failed miserably because of Biden. But we don't know who's coming in from our border. We don't know these people. We're just letting them in. and they're going all over the country, and they'll probably create havoc. I would say a decade from now, 20 years from now, we'll see the damage that this administration has done, in addition to destroying our presence on the world stage, in addition to destroying our, our connection with our ally, Israel. It'll all be played out. And we will rue the day that we allow this man to do what he's doing and not without him being held accountable because of the media. We will rue the day. Because right now they think that, oh, this is all good and what we're doing. It is not good. There's a cause and effect. We will rue this day when you have people on the streets in America rallying behind, they think, Palestinians. I was walking through the subway and I saw someone had written on the subway wall graffiti saying "Free Palestine," from the sea, from the what to the sea. That little saying that they're always saying, "Free Palestine," the Palestinians. And I'm like, but the Palestinians aren't under siege. It's the Israeli people that are under siege. See, it's the indoctrination of these young people on our university campuses. They're not being taught what's actually happening. I mean, many of them, I learned the other day, don't even know about 9/11. They're oblivious to what happened. And this is thanks to the media, thanks to our educational system, that they don't know it. We will rule this day. And that is a reason why we need someone at the top. We need a commander-in-chief who understands the political scene, who understands the world stage. Because the man we have right now, he's clueless. And yes, he gave a State of the Union. He was yelling out everything and yelling this and yelling that. But he doesn't have an understanding of geopolitics. I hate to say it. He doesn't have an understanding. And we have to remember that I think it was Robert Gates who was the Secretary of Defense. And he was also had worked in the State Department, said that Biden has been wrong for the past 40 years on all foreign policy. So he said this, and you would think that the media would play this up, but they won't. They make it seem as if, oh, Joe, he's so smart. He knows this, and he knows the ins and the outs. He doesn't. This man has been wrong. The only thing he's been right on is things that have benefited his family with China and with Ukraine taking in money. That's it. And man, they have benefited greatly.
Yeah.
But as far as foreign affairs, he has been wrong about. And the media will not call him out, Heather. Go ahead.
Honestly, Rob, I kind of think that everything Biden has done, it probably should have been done the opposite. I mean, I think his policies regarding the economy and Ukraine, I think was a quagmire and a mistake. I think, he started off okay with Israel, but now, it's like Ukraine, and I feel for the Ukrainian people, but the practical reality of that situation is they're not going to defeat Russia. And in the end, it's going to grind to some kind of settlement. But I mean, there's no real articulated goal, but that he seems gung-ho and insistent that we just continue to pour resources without end. But when it comes to Israel, which, is fighting a war, was viciously attacked by people whose values are 180 million degrees opposite theirs. There's no coexistence possible. I mean, they have a very concrete, basically achievable goal to eradicate Hamas. Then he's telling, pull back, he's scolding them. Not the Ukrainians, even though what the Ukrainians are trying to do is not doable. I mean, it's just think of it practically. You know what I mean? It's like, even if you believe both causes are just, I mean, Israel's trying to do a specific thing, not take down and take on an enormous nuclear power. They're just trying to get rid of Hamas, but they're being told, anyway, it just, I feel for the children on both sides too. I'd love to see things, to see a ceasefire for that reason, but I just wish the world would wake up and just put the squeeze on Hamas. That's who needs to surrender for this to end.
And then what are your thoughts about the article that came out saying that the Israeli protest is trying to stop aid from entering the Gaza Strip? Not a single loaf of bread they wanted to go in. I don't know if this is true or not, but I would gather to say that if that's the case, is that there's a fear that this aid is going to go to Hamas as opposed to the Palestinians who desperately need it in the Gaza Strip. I don't think that they're saying, not to let it come in, but I think there's a concern. What are your thoughts, Heather?
I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I'm not gonna take a stand against aid when it comes to, the possibility that children are in need, Rob. It just, but I mean, I don't understand how anybody can know the difference between Hamas and the male civilians over there. I've been confused on that point from the start. I mean, I'm proud of Israel for trying to let civilians evacuate and try to spare them, but I don't really understand how they know, that Hamas isn't among the civilians. And I just, in terms of the aid, I don't know how, to ensure. I mean, we should be ensuring that it doesn't go to Hamas, but I mean, in the midst of a crazy war zone and where we know what Hamas does, you and I saw that video of that elderly woman saying Hamas takes all the food, and she was talking to, Al Jazeera or some Arab outlet, and she said, I mean, I don't know. It just, I can understand their concerns. I'm sure. I mean, look, Israel's the only country in the world, I think, probably that's expected to feed the enemy. Although I guess this isn't Israel, right? This is America providing the aid. So still, we're allies with Israel, and we're feeding the other side, of this war. But I don't think we'd do it for the Russians. Let's put it that way.
Oh,
But I
absolutely
mean,
not. We wouldn't do it for the Russians. I think that, I don't know, this administration has disappointed me on so many levels as to their approach to foreign affairs. You look at how they haven't said anything concrete about China going in and invading Taiwan, but they are all for Ukraine. And I will sincerely say that I do believe that the only reason why they're concerned about Ukraine is because Biden's ties with it. Now, I know that there are some conservatives who are saying that, oh, we have an interest in it. We need to make certain that Putin doesn't try to reassemble the United, what is it, USSR, the communist state that they were, the Soviet Union. That's what I'm trying to say, the Soviet Union. And I don't think that that's what they're trying to do at all, but that's the propaganda that the media want us to think is happening. Hence, they want to say once again that Putin wants Trump back into office when clearly that he does not want that. He wants to keep Biden in office because he knows that Biden is weak. Everyone sees it and the media knows it. But they want to say that Trump is going to be a threat to democracy. Well, he'll probably be a threat to their democracy and ending the regime that they've created, the lies that they've created, the devastation that they've created. That's what they're afraid of, that people will all at once wake up. And if we had an honest media, Heather, if we had more than just After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform, if we had more journalists other than yourself who's writing about these things, I do believe that people's eyes would be open. We're up against another commercial break, but we're going to finish the third half of the show talking about the future, the path forward. How can we stop this craziness? You're listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
So Heather, the last half of the show, mm-hmm. And I want to throw out there something. President Trump. I think that of all the presidents in the past decade or so, two decades, I think he's been the most favorable toward the Israelis, moving the capital mm-hmm. to Jerusalem. Other presidents yes. said they were going to do it, but he actually did it. So
yeah, and more importantly, Rob, I don't mean to interrupt, but you know, he's cut off Iran's funding, which is even more important than moving the embassy. I mean, you know, we're funding the enemies of Israel and of this country. I mean, it's insane. I don't understand it. I know Biden's unfrozen some of Iran's money. I think it's money that was in Iraq, something like that. I mean, it's basically just appeasing a bloodthirsty enemy. And yes, Trump stopped that. He helped pass the Taylor Force Act, which is in memory of a Marine, a U.S. Marine who was stabbed by a Palestinian terrorist. And I believe it makes sure that money, U.S. dollars, don't go to the families of people who killed Israelis or Americans. So, yes, Trump did a lot of good things and important things, so crucial for Israel.
So if Trump were president mm-hmm. today, do you think we would be at this point right now?
No. No, I don't. Mm-hmm. And he's been talking about that, you know. I mean, I think one thing we can thank the liberals for, Rob, this whole characterization of Trump as crazy and a madman, which, you know, is obviously not true, but I think they managed to scare themselves and to scare the world into believing that, you know, and I think it was good for world peace, you know. So
I think the same thing, that if Trump were in office, I don't think a lot of what's happening now would be happening. And I do believe that it's unfortunate that we don't have that type of leadership in office. And I think that if Biden's given a second term, things will deteriorate a whole lot faster than they're deteriorating now. Mm-hmm. And as I said during the first block, I would say to my Jewish brothers and sisters that they really need to walk away from this current Democrat Party that clearly does not have their best interests at heart. And I say the same thing for Blacks. I know that both groups have been giving the Democrats a lion's share of their votes, but you can't trust them anymore because they don't have your best interest. You have the Democrats that are playing more so toward Hamas sympathizers, allowing these crazy protests to take place. And for Blacks, you have the same thing with them allowing the illegals to come in, and then they're dumping them in their communities, yet still they're telling Black people that we're going to protect you, we're going to make things better for you. What has Trump done for you? He's done nothing. But I'm like, what has Biden done to cause more destruction? Mm-hmm. And to me, it's so obvious being a black man and looking at this. But at the same time, you have the media and you have a lot of pundits that are there, black pundits like Joy Reid and Van Jones, that are spinning something different, and this Jonathan Capehart. And they all have an agenda that they're trying to fulfill. So it works in their interest to keep blacks in the dark. The same way with the Jewish community. You have these talking heads that are trying to keep Jews in the dark and don't want them to be made aware as to the damage that they're actually causing and that they're doing. And hence these two groups, blacks and Jews, they keep voting for, you know, the Democrats, giving them their votes, and it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And people have to, right, they have to stand up and say, enough is enough. It's not the party, as I was saying in the second block, as we were discussing, of our parents or grandparents. That party has left those faithful Democrats. And I don't see it coming back anytime soon with all the radicals that have entered into the party. What do you say, Heather?
Yeah, I think you're right, Rob. I mean, of course, a lot of Jewish Americans after October 7th were in shock and mystification that their leftist allies were not standing with Israelis and Jews around the world. I wasn't shocked because we know that, you know, in the catechism of the hard left, only certain minorities and, you know, are the favored minorities and others are identified as the oppressors. And, you know, we've already talked about this many times. It's a very simplistic, lazy, frankly, prejudiced paradigm, you know, that teaches you can make assumptions about people based on their color, their religion. This is, you know, what they do and what they preach, identity politics. And Jews were not, you know, the favored minority among the favored minorities. So I wasn't surprised. I think there's also the whole kind of by any means necessary Marxist tone of a lot of the leftism. And, you know, we know that the Hamas targeted, you know, civilians was particularly extraordinarily sadistic. But, you know, in the minds of these leftists, any means necessary is fine. And they don't make a distinction, I guess, between deliberate cruelty and the sad, tragic outcomes and consequences of war, which I'm not saying aren't brutal and horrible, but it's not the same thing as intentionally inflicting sadism on civilians. But, you know, they like to elide that. And so, you know, it just... The Jewish people I know, a lot of them, you know, we were really locking arms and, you know, in many cases feeling like our only allies were American conservative Christians. And we still feel that way, many of us. And we thank you.
And now we're at this point where they're trying to destroy all of this for their own political gain. And I know people are wondering, well, what do you mean by political gain? And this just can't be true, but it is true because they operate from that paradigm of it being political because it gives them power to do what they want to do. It gives them the power. And because now they're trying to replace, and I do believe this, sincerely believe this, they're trying to replace that political base, the Jewish community and blacks, with a new group of individuals that they'll probably have forever tethered to them by giving them things, that being the illegals that are coming here. Now, we mentioned that they're more than just the Mexicans that are coming. You have people coming from, what is it, Russia, from China, from Africa. And see, and that's really scary because those groups, they won't be tethered to the Democrat Party. I mean, they'll be off doing their own thing, God forbid. And we'll find out a decade from now. But the other groups of Mexicans, they will keep them locked in and giving them free things because they know that if, as long as we're giving them things, they'll forever come back to us, which is what blacks have done since 1964. And as you mentioned, Heather, blacks and Jews were locked shoulder to shoulder during the civil rights movement. supporting each other, supporting the cause. You go back and you look at the pictures, you listen to the stories. But now the media wants to erase all that and say none of that happened by turning the groups against each other. If you would think back during the 80s, how they were trying to turn the blacks against the Jews and say, oh, they don't like each other because the Jews had done this to the blacks. I mean, and this is all from the Democrats' playbook when you look at it. The Democrats kept this going, and even more so now. And that is the reason why they are favoring Hamas as opposed to our oldest ally in the region. Mm-hmm. And Tony Blinken, is Tony Blinken Jewish?
Someone told me that he is.
Right, that's what I thought. What he and his regime, what they're doing, is really sad. It's unfortunate. And at some point, as I said during the first block, it has to stop. Someone has to call them and hold them accountable. Because the path that we're going down is very dangerous. It's a very dangerous path. If we're going to saddle up against terrorists who don't care about us, it's just a propaganda war. They don't care about us at all. Once they get what they want across, they will show their true colors. And it's very dangerous. And you have these young people that aren't schooled or understand anything about these terrorists. And their mind is like, oh, they're being oppressed, and we got to go out, we got to go protest, because they never saw a protest or a march that they didn't like. And that's what we see. And that's what, and that's in essence, Heather, what we're seeing. I doubt many of them even understand, as I said during the first block, and we've been saying this on all of our shows, they don't understand what's happening. It's just, oh, let's get together and we're protesting. So let's protest. This is all they like. They like the idea of going out and protesting, but understanding what's going on, understanding what's behind it, they don't have a clue, which is what's dangerous. So when we see all these individuals that are out in the streets protesting and seemingly, oh yeah, we're doing this, and it's like, but do you really understand what's happening? Do you understand what you're protesting about? Do you understand that women and children are being killed because of a radical terrorist group, their actions on October 7th? Do you understand it? And then you have our leader in the White House who's saying that he's going to have a come to Jesus moment with the prime minister, and I guess, and try to persuade him to put down your arms and don't defend yourself, allow them to kill you, allow them to eradicate your people. That's in essence what he's saying, what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. Which is dangerous. I'm going to tell them just to put it all down and let them come in and do whatever they want to do. We're not going to tell them to stop. We only want the Israelis to stop. Again, not once have I heard them apply any pressure on Hamas. Not once have they said, stop doing what you're doing. And then maybe we can discuss a ceasefire. It's all been that what Israel needs to do, Israel needs to do this, Israel, 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 and nothing on the side of Hamas.
It's absurd. I mean, someone should ask these people. I mean, if you really care about the Palestinians, okay, fine, you can call for Israel to cease fire. Why don't you also at least ask Hamas to surrender? If this is really about the Palestinian people and too many children die, that's what this is about. You know, why don't you ask Hamas to give back our people? We all know there's a deal on the table. Even Kamala Harris said it. And I'm no fan of her, but I don't remember the other day she said something like, you know, she was sort of, I mean, she is an attorney, and she was saying, look, there's a deal on the table, you know, so if Hamas, you know, wants... But they don't want to stop. You know, Hamas doesn't want it to stop. That's what the holdup is. I mean, that's why this is continuing.
You're right. They don't want it to stop. And I'm glad you mentioned Kamala Harris. Because she did say that there is a deal on the table, and you need to take it. Like, yeah, but put pressure on Hamas. Where's a Hamas leader? Innocent people are being killed. But they want Israel to step up. Biden wants to bring Benjamin Netanyahu to come to terms and have a come to Jesus moment. And we're going to tell you, you better do this and you better do that and X, Y, Z, but nothing from Hamas. God forbid we tell them, release the innocent victims, release the hostages,
yeah,
get the hell out of town, let humanitarian aid come through, tell the other Arab countries, allow people to come in. Oh, no, no, no.
Right.
It has to be about the Israelis, what they
yeah.
want to do.
Yeah.
It's so disingenuous and it's so unfair.
Yeah.
Yet still, yeah. here we are, Heather. Here we are, 2024. Almost 180 days from that dreadful day, October 7th. And I don't see us being any closer to a resolution. And how can there be when you have this administration sending out, I don't even want to say mixed messages. The message is straightforward. Israel, put down your weapons and allow Hamas to do whatever they want to do. That's it. That's the come to Jesus moment. There is no in-between. Do not doubt what he's saying here. His message is clear. And he yelled it out from the dais when he gave his State of the Union speech. And he continued it when he went on the road. This is what we want Israel to do. There is no in-between. Put it down, and that'll be it. 2024, our greatest ally, and this is how we're treating them. Now, what do you think about the rest of the world when they see this, what they're thinking? Look at Taiwan with the threat of China. Do you actually think any of these other countries believe that the United States has that firepower that it used to have? And that is the reason why Russia is playing cat and mouse. They don't care anything about Biden. They know he's weak. And then you have the media, oh, he's strong. No, he's not. They know that he's weak. And that is the reason why they're taking the stance that they're taking. And they're making it seem as if they're, oh, you know, oh, we're afraid of Trump. We don't want Trump. You know, oh, we want Biden. You know, and of course the media, they buy it. You see that? Look at what Putin is saying. Knowing that this is the destruction. Wow. 2024, and this is where we are. Well, Heather, I got to say that we're all out of time, but I've enjoyed this conversation and talking about Biden, talking, saying that a come to Jesus moment. Someone needs to have a come to Jesus moment with him before it's too late. Mm-hmm. You've been listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. Thank you for joining us tonight. I thank my co-host Heather for sitting in. And as my dear friend Andrew would always say, stand for something or fall for nothing. God bless America. God bless Israel. We hope to see you soon on the next edition of After Dark with Robin Andrew.
God bless you.